It's Wednesday, September 20th, and maybe the Green Bay Packers defense wasn't quite as great as we thought, or was the Atlanta Falcons offense just that good? Also, the Milwaukee Brewers have been playing pretty good baseball of late, but they aren't gaining any ground. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tappin' the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome in to another edition of Tappin' the Keg podcast, episode 254. Mitch on the ones and twos.
Ish.
I think it's either four or five. So episode 255, just in case. Mitch on the ones and twos as always. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good this evening.
Yeah, we're up
as
against,
we record.
We're up against the clock a little bit. Not that we're on the clock.
A little but not real bad.
Mitch has the day job. Brewers are humming along with a solid pace. So
just like Monday night, man. Monday night was crazy.
Well, that's because Brent Suter, the god, was working hard. So there's that.
He's a post-game show producer's dream.
Absolutely. Brent Suter,
but
I think
they're afraid to have him go more than five innings. So,
well, that's for another time. But we'll talk about
that's
the Brewers
for later in the podcast.
Talk about the Brewers a little later. We'll obviously talk about the Packers' rough loss to Atlanta. Just some ins and outs about baseball, football, kind of the whole bang. And we'll talk about the Badgers at the end about just sort of what they did to BYU and kind of an overrated topic around the Badgers that I just want to be a killjoy about because sometimes I like to do that. I guess we can dive right into it unless you have something else that's burning before we talk about the Packers.
No, not really.
Not really. I mean,
it's pretty much the time of year. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Where, I mean, last Sunday.
Everybody's freaking out about the Packers losing.
Yep, it felt good.
First time this year, we might as well hit one of these right away.
Your Monday was about as shitty.
I thought about opening up the show basically with one of these, but
yeah.
But you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's really necessary.
No, I'm not. And as someone without headphones on tonight, I don't know what you're playing. So you could literally be playing any one of our drops, and I could be like, yeah, let's do it.
Sometimes it's better that way.
Yeah, I know. You've told me that before. You like to just run it, and I have no idea what's going on, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real sign that I am just a talent with a kind of a decent voice because I can't, you know.
Yeah.
That joke sucked.
No, I don't know.
But anyways, Sunday was great. I mean, got back into it. We had the three TVs running, DirecTV. I was subject to another poor Bears game. I mean, just kind of the whole thing.
The fact that I didn't take Tampa Bay is just sickening.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that one.
So I in some corner of the internet.
What was the spread? Was that like 14 or something?
No, it was 7.
Oh, man. See, that's...
So I had a good
week. That's like the lead pipe lock of the week.
See, I wish I actually gambled this. Well, I like Daily Fantasy, and that was well, but I don't actually gamble, and if I would have, I would have hit big bucks on everything I did because basically the way I looked at the spreads were all this money was piling in on Pittsburgh and for good reason. In our league, we got them at 6, and I was like, well, yeah, you got to take that and max bet that.
I did that.
And then you look at what was the other game that was a no-brainer? Oh, New England. And then
didn't do that one either.
And then Chicago or Tampa Bay. All the sharp money was coming in on Tampa at the end, and so that was where kind of everything was leaning. And then I looked at the two spreads of Oakland and the Jets and San Francisco, Seattle, both at 14. I'm like, one of these teams isn't covering.
Yep.
And I was like,
and I took the wrong one.
And I was like, you know what? There's no way Seattle does because Seattle's just their offense has been
was
shit.
That game in Seattle?
Yes.
That's even more frustrating.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you'd think they would have been more pissed after getting basically
shut down by the Packers. But it's not about that. It's about the offenses, and it's about that.
Well, correct.
I mean,
I think we saw firsthand in the Green Bay game what a terrible offensive line can do to your success.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you steered.
As soon as
that
I saw
way.
Bakhtiari was out, I really wanted to see if I could switch my pick.
Well, I also very much regretted kind of being the puffing my chest out a little bit at the beat writers and saying, why is everyone freaking out about limited in practice? It's just limited in practice. It's not a big deal. Some injuries take a little while to heal. Like Bakhtiari will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate a lot of crow on that. That was wrong. That was a big Calhoun moment for me. I screwed up. Crown Butler and Mecca Okafor are not bad players.
I don't know what else I can say. Yeah, if you want me to say I fucked up,
I fucked up. So anyways, yeah, going into that, I said, well, we'll see what happens. And then, you know, Atlanta goes down, runs like a hot knife out butter.
Yep.
Mike Daniels goes off with an injury. Green Bay responds. And like, okay, I don't know where I want to start with this game. I guess we'll just start with the game itself. I'm not like terribly frustrated or disappointed from the game, and maybe that's wrong of me, but
yeah, I wouldn't
it's
either.
Week two of the season, and I have a lot more thoughts on that later. But like
there, it seems like everyone that's upset is kind of just thinking that we can't beat Atlanta.
And that's such a flawed way to look at it.
And I just think I agree. I mean, it is week two. I'm sorry. And you were missing, obviously, plenty of guys ended up not playing very significant minutes in that game. You probably can't beat Atlanta, but I would rather try to have all my bolts in the chamber, proverbially speaking, before I freak out about, you know, not stop. And they got to figure clear. I think they found something in Kevin King, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Kevin King is definitely that type of player. I mean,
Granted, he only saw, four passes his way?
Right. But he has.
But they didn't catch any of them.
No. And he rated out as Pro Football Focus loved him. And speaking of Pro Football Focus, five of the each top five player outside of Rodgers was missing from that game, mm-hmm. according to Pro Football Focus. So. Right. Nobody's beating Atlanta like that. Literally no one. And Atlanta on that fast turf is going to be there. And so
there's just so much working against
you. Yeah, and I don't want to use these as excuses, and please don't take it as way. But did you know that like Atlanta's lights are like ultra bright, and that their players wear like contact lenses special to them because the lights are so damn bright in there?
No, I didn't
know. Yeah, Mike Florio was talking about that on Part of My Take on Monday. I found that really interesting. Like, not that I think it would affect anything, but
that's borderline unfair.
Right, exactly. But Atlanta's
that's like the Vikings back in the day.
Right, exactly.
Just blaring crowd noise, like fake crowd noise, yeah, extra loud music.
Yeah. The Vikings are some of the biggest cheaters in football. So then also, too, same thing. There were, you know, a few college games prior to the Falcons playing there on Sunday and mentioned, you know, yeah, a lot of guys slipped and a lot of guys were slipping. And you looked at the injuries that were happening. Those were like slip-worthy things. Those were, you know, quads, hamstrings, soft tissue injuries. I'm not making excuses for it, but I'm just saying, like, I think you do need to at least play a little consideration that the stadium may have had an issue with these injuries, and the Packers weren't prepared. Their equipment staff wasn't prepared for the slickness of the field.
And I was going to say too, in our group chat, there was some
a lot of
hyperbole. Granted,
a lot of Molotov cocktails thrown in there.
And a lot of emotions went into some of these comments, but you know, a lot of people, I think there was some blame on the medical. Like, we must have the worst medical staff in the NFL.
Yeah, and that was permeated through Twitter, Facebook, whatever.
Yeah, true. But the Packers were one of the few teams to come in with all 22 starters ready to go week one.
That's a great point.
Now that it's evened out here.
Right, and McCarthy kind of made mention of that in his Monday presser and said we have one of those every year.
And we should mention, too, that Cobb doesn't sound like it's too serious.
Yeah,
Mike Daniels doesn't sound like, but granted, it's a hamstring injury with Daniels, so those kind of tend to linger a little bit.
Right, especially at his size and the position he plays.
That's what Bakhtiari has too, right? Hamstring. Yep. So yeah,
a lot of soft tissue.
Yep, and you know, maybe there's something to do with that, but I don't know.
I think there's a lot there. So we'll get to the Cincinnati game in a little bit. I do want to mention though that it's not a stone cold lock that Atlanta's going to be hosting the NFC again.
Right.
Like, that is a very flawed way to think about it.
They do look good, but isn't Vic Beasley now hurt?
Out for a month with a hamstring tear. And that could be even longer. He could be back in a month, but he might not be the same player until another two months. And Atlanta's good, and I think they are, but they have some real issues at stopping, you know, pass catchers out of the backfield and stopping anything of a running game. They struggle with that. So because the Packers are so pass focused, I don't think they wanted to be. I think if you would have asked Mike McCarthy, you were sitting with him at a bar, you were sitting with him at
So off the record conversation.
Yeah, exactly. He would have told you that if we had Bakhtiari, we had Bulaga, we were going to run it 20 times with Montgomery. And the way Montgomery was running, I mean, Ty Montgomery is a star. I'm ready to say that. I feel very good about saying that. I think Ty Montgomery's shown enough. He has like the second most yards after catch as a player right now in football. Randall Cobb's fifth in that, by the way. So, and Randall Cobb would have had many more had Walt Anderson not had his head up his ass the entire game. And that's a whole other thing for another time. So there were a lot of breaks that Atlanta caught. You could easily make the argument that this could have been a 3-point loss. And I think everyone would say, oh, that was a moral victory and stuff like that. Instead of saying Packers will never be able to figure out Atlanta. That's so short-sighted.
Do you think Atlanta is kind of the new Seattle? I think not necessarily in terms of the Packers. That's their, you know, that's their kryptonite. They can't beat them. But with Dan Quinn and all that, and
yeah,
they have some, think, they have a lot of some similarities on defense, and then, but also, you know, a greater offense that can overcome their defensive shortcomings.
I think they are.
Because they went from San Francisco to the Packers couldn't beat Kaepernick. They couldn't stop the read option.
Right.
Then they couldn't beat Seattle for like a year there.
Yep.
Which now they don't seem to have problems with
and
them.
I mean, yeah, we'll see if they, you know, they haven't been back to CenturyLink. They'll be back there next year for a game, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, and even in the 90s, Favre couldn't figure out how to beat Dallas in Dallas, and he always seemed to go to Dallas, and Rodgers has always seemed to go to Atlanta. So yeah, there's some semblance there. And so we shall see.
And I think Atlanta's better than I thought they were.
I do too. I'll admit that as myself. I thought that I've watched Atlanta now twice.
I think I just thought they would kind of be, it's week two, but you know, I just thought they would kind of have that Super Bowl. They don't appear to have a Super Bowl.
No, that's dead. Matt Ryan like got pissed off at a reporter after the game about like asking about it still. So it's still kind of a fair question,
but
he's on his Durant game. You know, he's probably tweeting at him on a burner account or something like that. Bad look.
Is that 100% confirmed?
So he, not to derail, but
it's pertinent.
He basically admitted that he was the one who said those things and apologized at TechCrunch today. And people are like, well, why did you use the third person? And so basically I think what happened was, is he basically was kind of trying to protect his social media manager's ass, which as someone who works in that field, I greatly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and he said it was dumb, it was childish, it was idiotic.
I think he apologized for saying bad things about the Thunder.
Yeah, and he said it, and then I guess Enes Kanter today said, these guys aren't cats, they're my family. So still some barbs. It does say he also has like a private Instagram, but it's for friends and family and stuff like that, so. Who knows? I know athletes have private social accounts all the time, which I don't blame them for. I'd like to actually do social media.
Or you have guys like J.R. Smith who just don't care.
Absolutely. Shoot or shoot.
No kidding.
Moving on to Cincinnati. Very interesting game for a variety of reasons.
Cincinnati's horrible. We can say that.
We can. And, you know, that plays into the injury thing and wondering who's going to really play. We have a Milwaukee crowd, and we know we've had some hot takes on this program about Milwaukee crowds, and we know what that's going, but maybe because Cincinnati is absolute trash, that no one's really going to come there. There's reports out about that the Bengals, some players are pulling for Colin Kaepernick to be the starter there because Andy Dalton, the ship is sinking with him. I think they'd go with AJ McCarron before they'd go with Dalton, with Kaepernick. But with the injuries and all this stuff considered, you wonder if some guys are going to be held back for the Chicago game on Thursday. And no, it's not a pinhead reason of it's a rivalry game, it's Bears-Packers. It's not that. It's because they are the division opponent and they are an NFC opponent. Mm-hmm. So that game matters more. That win matters more. If they lose,
not to mention it'll be a short week.
Yes. And if they lose to the Bengals somehow, and people will be like, oh, the season's over, lose to the Bengals. Not really. If you have a skeleton crew, I think you still should be able to beat the Bengals. But honestly, like, yeah, that could bite you in the ass. But I feel like the Packers have one kind of what the fuck loss every year. So get it out of your system early and don't let it happen again. But I don't think that would happen, even with a skeleton crew. I think Randall Cobb will play. I don't think Jordy Nelson will play. I don't think Mike Daniels will play. Hmm. All of that on the record. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, you can thank me. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think Cobb's okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them sat. I don't know about the tackles. That's hard. Maybe Bulaga comes back and Bakhtiari rests. I'm not really sure. I think maybe Bulaga.
What does Bulaga have?
So Bulaga had an ankle injury, but he got the flu last week. So he didn't get any sort of training or treatment. So it almost made it sound like if he would have got the training and treatment he needed last week, he would have been able to go.
But he was off his feet?
Right. So I actually think Bulaga plays. I'll say Bakhtiari's out too. So Bakhtiari, Nelson, and Daniels, what do you, if we're playing the injury wheel of doom, where who do you think's suiting up?
How is Cincinnati's defense? Is there anything to worry about there? I can't think of a star pass
Geno
rush.
Geno Atkins would be your guy. So he'd make things a lot harder on Kyle Murphy if Kyle Murphy was playing left tackle. But Vontaze Burfict's suspended, I believe. So he's,
well, that's the thing is he, like who's, we don't know who's Vontaze, actually playing on their
Vontaze
team.
Vontaze won't be there. Pac-Man's all right. Drake Kirkpatrick has gotten burned. I mean, Rodgers should have an easy day, but he should have a decent day. And I feel very confident in saying Devontae Adams can be a number one receiver for this team.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Devontae Adams can't carry the water. And if you're flanked out with Geronimo Allison and Trevor Davis running underneath, and maybe a Jeff Janis bomb here and there, they got guys. I don't think there's anything to worry about.
Yeah, there's depth in the wide receiver. I guess I wouldn't throw Nelson out there. If Cobb, you might not even need to play him either. Right?
No,
there's a reason they kept eight receivers. You might as well try to use a couple of them.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I feel like, you know, with the Bengals getting a new offensive coordinator, I know sometimes getting new, firing an old guy and bringing in a new one, it's kind of like having sex with someone new for the first time. It's great. It's all this exciting. But, I don't know. It's week one still. And there's still a lot of problems with that Bengals offensive line. Very similar to Seattle, and this is what I kind of told you guys last week about how we're going to not know what to think about this defense because they're going to be able to get to Andy Dalton. AJ Green's an interesting matchup for Kevin King or anybody else. I'm sure Dalton will try to establish Green more. Tyler Eifert, I don't know if he always seems to get dinged up and he never really seems to be as much of a factor. Bengals also have not got their running game going because I don't think they know who's the guy right now. They don't know if it's...
They have a three-headed monster, right?
Yeah, they don't know if it's Jeremy Hill. They don't know if it's Joe Mixon. They don't know if it's...
But it's classic Marvin Lewis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I still like the Packers with a skeleton crew. I think it's a little more low scoring than it may be if they had a full squad. I think it's Green Bay 23, Cincinnati 10. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a defensive touchdown out of this. I think this is going to be a really good, another bounce back.
Yeah, Dalton
for the defense.
Has how many interceptions on the year?
Yeah,
he had four week one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any on Thursday night, but
he may have, and he's just looked really bad. And this is the first time, as someone mentioned, it's the first real time he's dealt with not having a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know kind of how to do it right
They've
now.
Also, I mean, I was thinking about this too. The Bengals, they've also kind of let some guys go over the years.
Because they're cheap as fuck.
That they shouldn't have, like Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who the other wide receiver would be besides AJ Green.
Shit. That's a good question.
I mean, I don't know.
I feel like I should know.
We'll probably find out.
I'm gonna try to Google it real quick. Let's see.
Because Lord knows the Packers secondary has the corners in particular outside of Kevin King.
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna ask you where you are on the Demaryius Randall hate train.
100% out on Demaryius Randall. I've tried it. I gave him a chance. You can't give up. Matt Ryan went 10 for 11 for 148 yards against both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Remember, Demaryius Randall was a safety. I'll blame him, but I'll also kind of blame the Packers for maybe trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah, it's not working out. So
they already have like seven safeties on the roster, so you can't move him this year.
So the other... the other wide receiver is Brandon LaFell.
Ah.
But
you're right.
You know, playing in the NFL. I mean, come on.
Probably a third receiver.
Yeah. So, anyways, I like the Packers. Are you on the same boat?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see Cincinnati scoring more than 17.
Yeah.
Maybe 20. You know, I'll go 30-20.
Okay.
Packers win.
So a little more scoring on your end. So we'll see. Any other week two reactions before we get to baseball?
Well, the Oakland Raiders look pretty good.
I mean, yeah, it's big test for
them. It's the Jets.
Big test for them this week. Kind of a sneaky good game with them playing the Redskins on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. It's a fun game. I mean, should be a lot of offense. Raiders defense, there's still some questions there. But Michael Crabtree kind of taking the shine away from Amari Cooper is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's happened a couple times.
Yeah, Derek Carr seems to like looking at it.
He likes Crabtree in the red zone, I think.
Yeah.
Because at least two of those were like 2-yard line fades.
Right.
I think, or from the 5-yard line in to Crabtree. I think he likes him in the red zone. They don't really necessarily have a tight end red zone threat
Jared Cook really hasn't been that guy for Derek Carr yet.
It's been a while since they've had one. So, but Marshawn Lynch is fitting right in.
Yeah. And he pissed off the Jets, which if any team should be getting mad about their ass kicked. The last team that should be getting mad about getting their ass kicked, it's the Jets.
Yeah, and he probably upset a few pockets of white America as well.
Exactly. But. Mike had a poll question of how did you find Marshawn Lynch's dance? It was all these things.
Did you know they were playing like a Fizz song, hyphy song? Yeah, it was like the whole stadium was doing it.
That's awesome.
So it wasn't just him dancing for no reason, being a psycho on the sideline.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Speaking of the Raiders and their division, I mean, the AFC West is looking like a monster.
It is. I am nervous because I didn't think Denver was going to be this good. Their defense obviously is tremendous. But
yeah, Trevor Siemian has if he throws four touchdowns every night. He's rolling. That offensive line was good as is. And
we've
now,
all seen the Chiefs as well.
Who now CJ Anderson has life. Saying that as a fantasy owner of CJ Anderson and feels good.
Heard enough of that name the last two days.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
But saw the Chiefs and then they continued kind of, I mean, they can get in the end zone.
Yeah, the Eagles aren't a slouch team, man.
And Kareem Hunt seems like he's trouble.
Oh, yeah, big time. He's like the reincarnation of Jamal Charles, a more physical version of Jamal Charles. You got to wonder about that Chiefs-Chargers game with the Chargers being 0-2. It's weird that I wouldn't be surprised the Chargers win that football game. It's in Los Angeles where there'll be
Carson
70% Chiefs fans and only about 30 people who kind of like football, but they don't really like the Chargers.
It's just terrible that they have two teams in LA.
Absolutely.
But
it's bad. It's
money
bad.
Talks.
My heart goes out to
not that I really need St. Louis to have an NFL team either.
No, but. Because I mean St. Louis, screw them. Right. I mean,
they weren't really going to games either.
Yeah, I was trying to think of who are my top five teams in the NFL, and
bottom three.
That's such a classic cliche. Power rankings, Sirius XM.
I guess Atlanta would be in the top five.
Atlanta would be up there. Kansas City. I'm not
did,
gonna put.
Did England do enough to?
Yeah, I think so. But there's still some warts. I'm not putting Oakland there yet, just because they played the Jets, and that's kind of. Right. You know,
that's fair.
Denver, I think, would be there. And then not Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hasn't really looked that good.
Zeke Elliott's quitting on Dallas already.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
He's lucky he's even in the fucking field. And then he's quitting on the team.
It's a good storyline. We need that. Tampa piqued my interest. But once again, they played the Bears. So how good is Tampa? We probably won't know after week two because, you know, our division, you know, Packers division has some tough games this week with the Bears playing Pittsburgh. Not easy. You have Atlanta playing Detroit. Really good game. And the Vikings playing the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And yes, Mitch, I was maybe wrong about the Lions. I will see. The jury's still out. But it's very possible that I was wrong about the Lions.
I'm not
going to
toot my own horn yet.
Not
yet.
I mean, you beat the Cardinals and the Giants, who both look assy as can be.
Yeah, the Giants have a terrible offensive line.
And then now they play Philly, who's just a Jim Schwartz blitz-style defense.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yeah.
So, on the baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers have, really, since the last time we talked, a lot has happened just from the fact that when we were talking, we were like, yeah, they got to go down to Miami and all this stuff. And then it went not so fast, my friends. And the Brewers got back, had to play it in Miller Park because of Hurricane Irma. And it was kind of a magical weekend.
Do you think that's easy, as easy as it seems?
No.
For those guys? I mean,
I don't think it's easy for anyone. I don't think it's easy from Rick Schlesinger till the last bent guy on the bench.
Yeah.
I think there is a just overall psyche.
It's kind of hard to feel bad for him, but at the same time, you were supposed to be gone, and then you're probably rearranging. Because, so, I mean, those guys, let's face it, pro athletes, I hate to admit it, they don't really live in Milwaukee. I mean,
No. They
do. They have condos or apartments or whatever, but, you know, they have families with moving parts and all that, and maybe a lot of those guys being from Dominican Republic and stuff might have had family going to Miami,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and it might have been an opportunity.
There might have been stuff that slightly distracted them as well.
Yeah.
And you still got to play the games.
Totally. And, you know, Neil Walker, I guess, gave a speech prior to Friday's game about how special this is and how excited they should be that they got this opportunity.
And then
to
he
be
wouldn't hit
home.
A grand slam.
Yes. And I am so mad I fell asleep on Friday night. So I went out to dinner.
Wow.
I went out to dinner. I may have had a few too many beers at dinner. And I fell asleep hard and woke up at like 2:45 in the morning, and I checked the scores also to see how I was doing gambling-wise. And I did well gambling.
Hello?
And I look and I watch this, like all the highlights, and I'm like, I missed the best inning of the year.
Yeah, and they did it twice in that series.
Right, and they're starting to do that more. And they're starting to hit the ball.
It's good to see the offense snap out of it.
Right, and they're in a dogfight tonight against Pittsburgh. It's currently 1-0 as we record. But we all know that just Pittsburgh's never easy. It's the stadium. It's the way it's built. But the Brewers have not been able to gain any ground. And the Cubs are up 2-0 right now. And Chris Archer into the sixth against the Rays. So it's frustrating. I get that. But at the same time, finishing strong, something's to be said about finishing strong, and whether fans will buy into that. And you can just point to that Cincinnati series. You can point to the San Francisco series. You can point to a lot of different things and said that was the reason why they didn't win. They didn't get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I mean they're probably going to win 86, 87 games. I mean, there's what, 12 left?
11? 12 left. And there was a good graphic about how they win the wild card with Colorado, and Colorado would have to lose a certain amount of games, and they play the Giants, and like not to, the Giants have been really bad recently, and so that's not great. But we'll you just see.
There's an outside chance that the Brewers might have to go to Colorado to play a tiebreaker game, and then go to Arizona should they win that.
That
like
would
the
be
next
wild.
Night.
Now that would be a lot of fun, and would be definitely something to watch, and would be a great. Great sort of thing, and they get four with the Cubs, and so they get four with the Cubs on Thursday. I'll be in the house on Thursday night.
Ooh.
Kind of had to, just actually got tickets pretty cheap on SeatGeek, and just sort of in the stadium for that because it's going to be a great series. Got to set that tone early, and we'll see.
Yeah, if the Cubs could somehow lose both these games to the Rays and the Brewers win. You'd be, what, a game out as the series begins?
Yeah,
game and a half, I think?
Game and a half. I think you're a game and a half out. And even if they're within that four number, so if they're 3.5 out heading into that series, they sweep and they have a half game lead. They take 3 of 4, they're a half game back and breathing down the Cubs' neck.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs still have to go to Washington, mind you, next weekend.
Do they really?
Yes.
They end the season in Washington?
I believe so.
Wow.
And so you can say, well,
never knew that.
Maybe the Nationals might not have something to play for, but I'm almost positive they still have. I heard that unless
I'll look. That doesn't sound right.
They could. They probably are playing the Reds, and I'm just wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know they have some left with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are kind of hanging on by.
They are
a thread.
Playing the Reds.
Oh, they are playing.
They
the
finished
Reds?
The year at home against the Reds.
Oh, I don't know why I thought they played the Nationals still.
Yeah, no, they played. They were done with the Nationals, I think, back in August.
So yeah, and we'll just see what happens. I mean, those four games, their rotation's a little bit of a mess. Now they're saying Arrieta might not pitch on Saturday, and they kind of jumbled the rotation. So Lester's now not going to pitch in the series against the Brewers, and that's really weird. So we'll just sort of see. I mean,
the Cubs do go to St. Louis for four next week.
Okay,
which is kind of not easy.
And that's kind of St. Louis's last gasp. Yep. I mean, they have to play pretty much perfect this
week. How crazy
is
it that the Brewers and the Cubs play them in back-to-back four-game series? within the last week of the
season.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what baseball wants, right? That's why they have all these division games at the end of the season, because they want it to be decided between the teams that have been fighting all year.
Yep.
So anything's possible still. I don't know the people who are like, well, yeah, it's kind of impossible if you do the math. It's like,
not really.
You can get hot. Like,
I mean, if we come back with just, you know, at this time next week and they're still two games or two and a half or three games out of each wild card or division race, then maybe it's probably tough.
But
it's
even
pretty tough at that point.
But even then, when the whole whole Ned Yost thing happened and the Brewers were kind of falling out,
it was about
of
this
it,
time, yeah.
They last week of the season, they win four straight games against Pittsburgh. I believe they won out. They won seven straight, or they won seven of their last eight, and they did it and got through it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pressure on Colorado. All of the pressure is on Colorado.
Sure.
And no matter who they're playing, I mean, even
the Brewers aren't a good spot that way.
They blew a 3-1 lead Sunday. I mean, they had a 3-1 lead going into the ninth, and Greg Holland gave it up. And so
he's been good all year.
This stuff starts happening. Baseball is, especially around this time, crazy shit starts happening. There's going to be a game that's going to drive you absolutely batty, and you're going to be like, fuck me, fuck this team. Like, I'm going to be so upset. And you're going to be upset you're going to go to bed mad. There are other nights we're going to be like, this is great. This is amazing. Brewers are carrying it all the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time they win, Council doesn't get enough credit. And every time they lose, he's terrible.
We're right. And so you got to kind of ride the wave a little bit and understand that, like, this was never supposed to happen. I made bets with my friends this year about, you know, the Brewers won't win 80 games. And if they win tonight, they're at 80.
They have 80.
Oh, excuse me.
They have, as we speak.
So, wow.
They win tonight. If they win Tuesday night, they have 81.
So, they would cover that. Knock on wood. Now I feel like I've jinxed the rest of that game. But still, no one expected this. Next year is supposed to be the year. And so I'll leave you with one question, because now I mentioned next year and I wrote about it. SunTapWI, it's a website. Josh Hader, do you think there will be a lot of people thinking he should be a bullpen guy next year? Or do you think that there's going to be...
It's a really hard question. I think I've wavered a little bit on it myself about what I want for Josh Hader next year. I guess I'd still want to see him try it as a starter. But man, you know, the way baseball's going and the way he looks out of the bullpen, there's a lot of value for a guy who can go multiple innings as a left-handed flamethrower.
My point is if he's matched the Chris Sale comparisons. Everyone said he's Chris Sale. Say he's very similar. He has a very similar style.
Yep.
You don't put Chris Sale out for two innings.
Right.
You put Chris Sale out for seven.
I agree.
And if Hader is a guy who just can't pitch past five innings and six innings, and he's not a guy who can go deep and be an actual ace, then okay. Then maybe he is a bullpen guy. But I agree with you. I think you have to test it out. Brewers have a very interesting spring training next year with their rotation.
Absolutely.
Because
Chase Anderson's done way more than we thought.
Anderson's been a bona fide ace. I mean,
pretty much.
He has been. He's under two. He's under three.
I mean, outside of missing, you know, almost 2 months.
Yeah, with an oblique injury. But, I mean, he's been incredible.
I mean, you've got...
So, Anderson, Nelson,
you got
Davies.
Three 100% locks, I think.
Yeah, those three are locked in. You got Woodruff, you have Hader, you have Suter, and maybe Corbin Burns,
Burns is, I think, it's still in AAA next year.
Probably in AAA, getting him ready, and he could maybe Burns is your Hader of next year, and he comes in out of the
bullpen. Or he's your Woodruff, maybe.
Yeah,
who you bring up midway through the season, after the All Star break.
You never know; injuries can happen. A lot.
Let him wet the beak.
A lot can happen with young arms. And the other question, I guess I can ask real quick. I know we're kind of.
And Matt Garza is going to be around too.
Matt Garza is done.
I hope so.
I think they will figure out a way to buy out Matt Garza's deal and just say, go away.
He's only got a few million left.
They'll DFA and they'll eat the money, kind of like happened with Pablo Sandoval. Do you think that there is any... I'm trying to think of the right word. Do you think there's any sort of temptation for David Stearns to deal Lewis Brinson because they think they could get...
A stud pitcher?
They get a big-time starting pitcher and... and think that they could get similar
production. I'm glad it's not Sonny Gray, I'll tell you that. You know what I mean?
No, it's
they could have done that.
They could have done that, but I don't know. The more I watch Brett Phillips, the more I start to like.
Yeah, he's kind of figuring it out a little bit.
Yeah, he's
gotten regular playing time.
I think the fact that he's so good defensively.
Yeah.
And that,
so is Broxton.
And Brinston is too, but like, I don't know. I guess you really want to get rid of a Brinson who's probably a three or a four hitter. And Phillips is maybe at best a leadoff hitter or two hitter, but he'll never be a guy who's going to be 25, 30 home runs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough. I want to see what Lewis Brinson can do.
I think actually Phillips probably becomes trade bait this summer.
Well, one thing that Tim was talking about on the post game show is that he's surprised they didn't make Phillips their minor league player of the year. Cause their numbers, Phillips and Brinson's numbers are pretty similar.
Yeah.
And just out of the mere like trade value,
yeah.
In the offseason, you can say, "Hey, Brett Phillips was our minor league player of the year."
Yeah,
look at his numbers.
All right, that's a good point. Well,
you could throw him out there as somebody to go get a number two starter.
No, I think Phillips would be a guy who's attractive, and I do think there will be. You know, to me, that's just Stearns being a sly son of a bitch.
Yeah,
I think it's classic Stearns. Well, yeah, we know he, you never know with David Stearns. I'm telling you, I think teams are going to be very apprehensive to deal with him because he hasn't a bad deal. Yep. Swarzak worked out. Jeffers worked out.
Yeah, I know. And Jeffers has been pretty good with the Brewers since he came back.
And it was really interesting.
He had like one bad outing right away or something.
The broadcast said something that he kind of didn't really have that swagger. When he came back and then like,
do you think there's some kind of just fact that like he's comfortable here?
Yeah.
Maybe some of his off the field problems are not as prevalent when he's in Milwaukee.
I actually was at a function and had an opportunity to ask David Stearns kind of that question and asked him about, is it the low leverage situations? What is it? And he said, he's just comfortable here and everything like that. And so it makes sense. And that's what the broadcast also said. You know, they're like, JJ took over the locker room. He started bringing his speakers. He started like getting that sort of, and Levering didn't want to use the word like swagger.
Old times.
But he's like, he started to feel like himself again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to think that he was a closer like a year ago prior to the deadline.
Right.
That's wild.
Yep. And now he's pitching in mop-up situations, but doing good.
Now he's doing good. So, yeah. And that's really the only baseball race. Nothing else is really popping with baseball. I mean, that's kind of it. Everyone's just getting.
That's why we're getting all these national TV games this weekend.
Should be exciting. I am so hot, by the way, that I'm in Green Bay on Saturday and can't start day drinking for that noon start because God damn it, I would have.
Yeah.
And that's just a missed opportunity. So, real quick, I know how much time we got. Where are we at?
We're at 38.
We're at 38. So, yeah, good time for the Badgers. So I want to be a killjoy about, before we talk about the Badgers themselves. So there's been a lot of new, like, sometimes I get a very old man about because I just see it all the time. And I thought at first it was a cool story, and now I'm like, okay, I get it. But, did you see all the stories about how Wisconsin was going to drink BYU dry? Did you see any of those?
I did.
And so there was all that hubbub-a-loo about that. And then everybody's been posting about how they had the best weekend ever and all this stuff. It's like, of course they did. These are Mormons. They don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect? Of course they did. Wisconsin travels well. I don't understand why this is a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you take pride in it, I guess. And as a Wisconsinite, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there weren't that many Wisconsin fans at that BYU. I mean, there were probably a couple thousand, like in one corner.
Kind of the traveling crew that usually goes. I'm sure a few people saw it as an opportunity because it's out west, which the Badgers aren't there often, and it's, it's a different venue for them. Yeah. So,
I don't think I'd ever want to go to Utah personally.
No, I don't really have
much interest. It's beautiful.
If I was better of a skier, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if I did more outdoor sports or was a little more, I'm an outdoorsy person. yeah, then I'd do it. And but you know, if you're going there to go to at a sporting event, not ideal.
Yeah, no.
With its 3% beers and can't drink more than one at a time. And
right, yeah. They're very strict. Very, mm-hmm. very, very strict.
They definitely are.
So.
It's kind of mind-blowing.
As for the game itself. It's kind of funny that at the beginning of the year, we were all like, oh, man, this BYU thing could be really tricky and stuff like that. And then, lo and behold, they beat them by 34 points, and it's not even close. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that BYU had zero offense, and that defense kind of ate, and their secondary was pretty porous, and Alex Hornibrook really started finding stuff.
Yeah, he looked like a good quarterback.
Exactly.
And a Division I level quarterback.
Yeah, found stuff with Danny Davis and Quintez Cephas and a few others, Troy Fumagalli, of course. So the Badgers are rolling. They get a week off before welcoming in Northwestern, and you got to start wondering, you know, is this Badger team maybe a playoff contender? I mean, they have a pretty easy schedule. That Michigan game looms in late November. But, man, oh, man.
But that's at home.
And they keep looking good. And it makes sense that they kind of found their swagger in week three and put together their first complete game of the year. Because they do have a lot of young guys in big moments. I mean, mm-hmm. Davis is a freshman. Jonathan Taylor is a freshman. You know, they have other freshmen stepping up. There was a corner that I think had an interception at 8 tackles who's a freshman. I mean, they just have a lot of young guys who are playing kind of above their heads right now, which, you know, can bite you, but it also can propel you at the end of the year because these guys are battle ready and battle tested. So
I think everybody's scared though to kind of put that as a consideration.
Oh, you know, yeah, because what happens is the Badgers lose something dumb.
Yep, they always have a whoopsie.
They, you know, the WTF game we talked about with the Packers earlier in the podcast, that is literally the Badgers brand.
That's their life, yeah.
That's the Badgers brand. So yes, people don't want to go fully all in. I get that. But at some point, you have to be a realist and say, okay, so Penn State's all right, and Penn State's pretty good.
What's that running back's name? That dude's amazing.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So
he just who did they play? They played some
Georgia State.
You see that highlight where he just blew by like the whole team?
I did not, but I
it was like a swing pass or something, and he just went right down the sideline.
I saw that they iced the kicker. They iced the kicker at 56-0 because apparently Franklin didn't have his field goal unit on, and Mike Francesa absolutely lit into James Francesa like A plus radio rant from Francesa. You know, king stay king, really, at that point.
So the Penn State coach didn't have his field goal unit on. And
he said he had all his fourth stringers in, and they didn't have a fourth string field goal unit team. And so the field goal block team. And so when they went on there, they called a timeout on the kicker. It's like, James Franklin's kind of a dick. And I don't really like James Franklin. I've grown, like, he's the anti-Harbaugh. Like, as he's been in the Big Ten, I've secretly started to dislike James Franklin. I like what he's done an amazing job building that program, but he's just kind of an ass. And so I know people like him, but not really for me. So, but yeah, no, Badgers kind of have it made in the shade. We'll see. I mean, they get a week off. So if you are a Badger fan, you can put all of your attention towards the Brewers and then the Packers and enjoy that for a weekend.
Yes, sir.
So, or are you playing me off? I don't even know.
A little bit. Yeah.
So, well,
I mean, are there any big games this weekend in college football?
I know we always do. We always do run through the college slate. It's kind of like it's becoming tradition.
Only because you love it.
No, I do love it, but
there's week four here.
You're putting me on the spot.
I got it.
Alabama at Vandy is an interesting game. Vandy is much better than people think they are.
TCU Oklahoma State will be again another 70-62 game.
Yeah, there are some decent games. The Mississippi State Georgia game is fascinating. You also have Notre Dame playing Michigan State. Not a bad outing there. Florida only a 3-point favorite heading to Kentucky. Kentucky has never beat Florida in football. Very interesting game.
Interesting. Oregon's back in the top 25.
Yeah. Iowa at home against Penn State. Penn State 12.5-point away dog.
That's wow.
Hawkeyes barking. I don't know if I'd bet that. I don't know if you want to bet against the Hawkeyes at a night game in Kinnick. Shout out to my man Josh, who just got married, and a proud Iowa alum. I told him
Penn State's also number four in the nation.
I told him, I said, Barstool's coming to Iowa City on Saturday. He's like, well, you want to go? I said, nope, can't do it. But what I can do is tell you guys, make sure you listen. Make sure you check us out on Twitter, me, SnowtapWI, Mitch Ross, MKE. We will talk to you next week, short week for the Packers, talk Packers-Bears, and see how the Brewers netted out against the Cubs. So we will talk to you next week, boys and girls. See you.
See you.